Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because they are only matter, the body, the life airs, the external and internal senses, the five gross elements and the subtle sense objects, form, taste, smell, sound and touch, cannot know their own nature. The nature of the other senses or the nature of their controllers. But the living being, because of his spiritual nature, can know his body, the life airs, the senses, the elements and the sense objects, and he can also know the three qualities that form their roots. Nevertheless, although the living being is completely aware of them, he is unable to see the Supreme Being, who is omniscient and unlimited. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. Material scientists can make an analytical study of the physical elements, the body, the sense objects, and even the air that controls the vital force. But still they cannot understand that above all this is a real spirit soul. In other words, the living entity, because of his being a spirit soul, can understand all the material objects, or when self-realized, he can understand the Paramatma, upon whom yogis meditate. Nevertheless, the living being, even if advanced, cannot understand the Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, for he is Ananta, unlimited, in all six opulences. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shriyutah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhur Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are reading this morning from Canto 6, Chapter 4, entitled The Hamsa Guhya Prayers, Text 25. Daksha Prajapati, who trying to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is seeking his blessings. And in regards to seeking the blessings of the Supreme Lord, he is offering these Hamsa Guhya prayers, which are so wonderfully composed. In our Vedic scriptures, these kind of prayers which when devotees offer unto the Supreme Lord. In the Sanskrit term, they are called stuti. And stuti technically means that when the Supreme Lord is glorified of just His existing qualities. Because He cannot be glorified completely. How can the unlimited be glorified completely? And that too by the limited. So if the Supreme Lord is Ananta, then whenever devotees offer some glorification unto the Supreme Lord who is Ananta, they are simply glorifying the existing qualities which they can perceive of the Lord then. And therefore, Krishna is also called as Navanavayaman. He is always fresh, which means that his qualities are always on a move, progressive move. Just like within this material world, our material bodies are always undergoing degradation. We are always heading towards the ocean of birth and death. And therefore, even though we may celebrate our birthdays every year, when we are asked, how old are you now? How do we say? I am 25 years old. In one college program in Bombay, there was one student who was arguing with me that why you are coming in these universities and preaching to these young students. This Bhagavad Gita and this bhakti and chanting and all this is meant for the old people, when they have nothing else to do, when their senses become defunct, when they have retired from their job and everything, that is the time when they have to just sit and chant this holy name and all that. So I asked him, what is your age? And he said, I'm 19 years. So I said, how do you say that? How do you complete that statement? And then he had to say, I'm 19 years old. And what does old mean? Which means you are not young. So in that sense, our material bodies, material consciousness, this material world, everything is on its way towards degradation. But when it comes to Krishna and anything in connection with Krishna, it is always progressive. So, Krishna's qualities are not static. Just like we may say that we may have certain qualities. I may say that I'm educated or I'm talented, I can sing, I can speak, I can walk. I can do so many things. But all those qualities are static. They are not dynamic. But when it comes to Krishna, all of His qualities are dynamic. Which means, when we say that Krishna is beautiful like a lotus flower. Now that's something very limited in trying to glorify Krishna's beauty. Vishwanath Chakri Thakur and Madhurya Kadambini, he says that when a pure devotee goes to the spiritual world, the first thing he does is, he begs forgiveness from the Lord. That, my dear Lord, I compared you to a lotus flower. You are so far beyond the beauty of a lotus flower. But that was the only thing which I could reach to in this material world in order to appreciate your beauty. So the first thing a pure devotee does when he reaches the spiritual world is he begs forgiveness unto the Supreme Lord for comparing him to a monsoon rain cloud, to a lotus flower, to full moon and all these things. So when we are glorifying Krishna's beauty, The moment we compare Krishna's beauty with something beautiful, Krishna's beauty has enhanced that very moment. His beauty is not static, it is dynamic, it has expanded, enhanced. To give you a simple example, if I ask you, what is the time right now? The exact time right now. Now, I might say, it's exactly 8 o'clock, 42 seconds. But by the time I have spoken that, it is already 43. 8 a.m., 43 seconds already. So by the time I say what is the exact time, the time has jumped over. Which means, at any given time, nobody can give what is the exact time. Nobody can speak what is the exact time. Because you need to take some time in order to speak about that time. Is it confusing? In order to speak what is the time right now, you have to take some time. So if I say that if it is 8 o'clock and 50 seconds, and if I say that it's 8 o'clock 48 seconds, I'm not speaking the right time. So just like time is always on its progressive move, it's always ticking. Similarly, Krishna's qualities are always on a progressive move. If I say that Krishna is all knowledgeable, his knowledge has increased that very moment. And therefore, what is the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That he is not able to realize how glorious he himself is. And in order to find out how glorious he himself is, he has to come in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained about this Ananta feature of the Supreme Lord. Anta means that which comes to an end. Ananta means that which is unending, unlimited. Yova anantasya gunanantan anukramishyan satubala buddhi rajamsi bhumed ganayet kathanchit kalena naiva akhila shakti dhamna. This particular verse spoken in the 11th canto speaks about the unlimited nature of the Supreme Lord. Yova anantasya gunan anantan. He is ananta because he has ananta qualities. And anyone who tries to list down how many qualities the ananta has is having bala buddhi. He's childish. He's childish in his intelligence that he's trying to list how many qualities the Supreme Lord has. So the example is given. Just like Rajamsi Bhumet, on this Bhumi, on this earth planet, can anyone count how many particles of sand are there? There are so many beaches and there are so many particles of sand everywhere. Can anyone count how many particles of sand are there? Rajamsi Bhumet. Raja means sand particle. Bhuma means on this planet Earth. So it is said that there is one person who has done that, who has counted all the sand particles, and that is Ananta Shesh. He knows everything of quantitatively how much is in what number on this planet Earth. But even he has not come to any extent to a limit or to a list of how many qualities the Supreme Lord has. Now, we try to glorify the Supreme Lord with this one mouth. Ananta Shesh, how many hoods and how many mouths he has? Thousands. And how much life do we have to glorify the unlimited? And how much life Ananta Shesh has? He's eternal. Since time immemorial, Ananta Shesh has been glorifying the Supreme Lord with his unlimited mouths. But even he has not reached any end to the glories of the Supreme Lord. So herein it is explained that that Ananta, that Supreme Lord, if he is to be glorified, if herein there are stutis being offered unto him, and that too by a mortal being like us, then is this a proper match? So the Lord is Ananta, and the Bhagavatam explains that we are born in ignorance. Abodha Jata. We are born in ignorance and he is unlimited in his qualities. Ignorance is compared to darkness. And darkness is such a thing that it can never go on its own. Imagine if this room is dark for 10 years. Just because of being dark for 10 years, this room will not get lighted up just because of the course of time. It will always remain dark unless someone puts a light here. So similarly, living entities' ignorance will always remain ignorance unless he is enlightened. Therefore, when we take shelter of the spiritual master, what does he do? Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya. That we are born in ignorance and with the torchlight of knowledge. So knowledge is compared to light here. Ignorance is compared to darkness. So if this room is pitch dark and somebody comes in and he knows where the switch is, how much time will it take for this dark room to get enlightened? How much time it takes? Even if the darkness might have been for ages, even if the darkness in this room might have been sitting here for ages, it will take just a momentary time for the darkness to be dispelled when this particular room is lighted. So similarly, the darkness within us might have been for ages, lifetimes. But when you come in association of a bona fide spiritual master, with that torchlight of knowledge, immediately the darkness can be dispelled. So when we are talking about knowledge, knowledge is something which we require at every stage of our life. Now when we are born in total ignorance, abodha jata, as it is said. We are born in total ignorance. We do not even know who we are. We do not even know whom we have born from, in which family, where are we, nothing. We are born in total ignorance. But then, slowly and gradually, we are being taught. A small child, especially a human child, has to be taught so many things. He has to be taught how to eat. He has to be taught how to speak, how to walk, how to dress, how to do so many things. So we are born in ignorance and we learn so many things just in order to survive. Now, survival of the fittest. Who said that? Someone from this place? Darwin? Darwin said, survival of the fittest. Now I'm coming from Bombay over there. If in case Darwin would have come to Bombay, he would have said, it is not survival of the fittest, survival of the fastest. You have to be really fast over there just in order to survive. Now we see that just in order to survive, how much a person has to be knowledgeable. There are so many courses in so many universities and people are studying so many different subject matters, trying to become knowledgeable. Why? Why they are trying to be knowledgeable? Just so that they can earn their livelihood. The main important reason why a person goes to, say, a college or a university is not just to gain some knowledge and, you know, feel good about that. We didn't go to universities and college for that. We were very specific that I'm going to this particular university and studying this particular course, getting this knowledge, so that using that knowledge I can earn some money. I was giving a talk in one college in Bombay, and we were discussing about that what is the purpose why students come to universities nowadays? To get that one piece of paper. What is that? The certificate. To get that one piece of paper, they have to study so many pieces of paper. In the form of those textbooks and big fat books. Why? So that they can get that one big piece of paper, the certificate. And why do they want that one big piece of paper? So that they can get many pieces of paper. Money. So it's just a story of pieces of paper. So people, they go into some college or university to get some knowledge. Why? To get that piece of paper, to get so many other pieces of paper. And, you know, it's just a story that, you know, then when you die, you write your will and that's another piece of paper. So whatever you had earned in the form of pieces of paper, again it goes back into another form, just a piece of paper. Like there is a saying, you know, this is a famous saying, where there is a will, there is a way. Now, of course, it is said that where there is a will, there are many relatives. If a person leaves behind a will, definitely there are many relatives. So, even a beggar who is on the street begging, even a beggar on the street, of course you don't find many beggars out here, but in India, you'll find so many beggars. They have sufficient knowledge how to beg, where to beg, when to beg. In fact, many of these beggars in Bombay, they have big homes. They have like, you know, a beggar's club running, and they, some of them are the head of the department of that club. And they have courses on, you know, how to beg, where to beg, what words to use, how to present, what expressions, what gestures. It's a science. They graduate in that. in the art of begging. Of course, our Krishna consciousness is also art of begging. Just begging unto the Supreme Lord for mercy. So over there also, you know, a beggar, he has to have that knowledge, how to beg. Now, when we are talking about knowledge and how knowledge is so much essential for one's survival. One time there was a man and his car broke down. So he went to the mechanic. And the mechanic just opened the bonnet. And he looked in. He took a hammer and just hammered at one spot inside. And then closed the bonnet and said, "The car is functioning. You can take it." And for sure, the car started running. And he thought that that's it. And the owner of the car was just very conveniently moving out. And the mechanic said, "You have to pay for that, my dear." He said, "Pay for that hammering? You just hammered. You didn't do anything else." Jai Shishradha Gokulana. And he said, "You have to pay £1,000. Not just pay, but pay £1,000. He said, "What do you mean £1,000? Just for one hammering? You didn't put any other thing inside. You didn't do anything. You just hammered." And he said, "Yes, 1 pound for just hammering and 999 pounds for where to hammer. It's not hammering, but where to hammer, you do not know. Therefore, you came to me. So knowledge is so very much essential. Of course, nowadays, people, they are trying to acquire knowledge in such crazy ways. I was talking to one student. He's doing his PhD. And you won't believe, he's doing his PhD for the past 8 years. In what subject matter? He's doing his PhD on the subject matter, how to extend the longevity of a water bubble. And I said, why? Why do you want to extend the longevity of a water bubble? He's been doing his PhD for the past 8 years on that. And he explained to me that there are these multinational companies who produces these soaps. And some elite people, when they use their soap for bathing, so there is a certain foam which is formed when they scrub that soap on their abominable bodies. So some foam and some bubbles are formed. Soapy bubbles are formed. And when these soapy bubbles trickle down their bodies, they feel some tickling sensation. And when they feel that tickling sensation, that's ecstasy for them. So they go back to these soap companies that you keep manufacturing these kind of soaps wherein these soapy bubbles, they remain for longer duration on our bodies as they are trickling down. So these soap companies, they go to these universities, these chemical engineering universities. This was a chemical engineering student. In order to do some research and produce a chemical for their soaps, wherein the soapy bubble, the longevity of that soapy bubble can be extended. And then I asked, my dear, your life is also like a water bubble which is going to burst at any time. What are you doing to extend the longevity of that water bubble of your life? So this was the student who was studying this, increasing the longevity of a water bubble. And there was another one. He was studying to increase the elasticity of a chewing gum. Can you imagine what's going on in this world nowadays? And there were some research students who are studying the digestive system of the mosquitoes from Alaska. Come on. This human form of life has been given to us. Athato brahma jigyasa. But they are trying to increase the longevity of a water bubble, elasticity of a chewing gum, digestive system of the Alaskan mosquitoes. Craziness. And then some people come, why are you wasting your time in studying these mythological books? That's what they call. So herein, we see that knowledge, people are so much into acquiring knowledge. There was one study which was going on, just because we are discussing all these things. There's these scientists who are day in and day out for years and years and years in some remote parts of the Amazon jungles. What they are doing is, with their cameras, in front of deep caves, with their cameras, they are waiting to observe when the bats, you know, bats, you have bats here, those birds who hang upside down, not the cricket bat, these birds who, you know, hang upside down. So there are these scientists who are with their cameras waiting in front of these caves where the bats live, waiting to shoot and observe. As the bats come out, they want to find out which direction they take, whether they go left or whether they go right. And they want to understand the psychology of a bat as a bat flies out from a cave, which direction the bat takes. Depends on which direction the bat takes, they are trying to deduce the psychology of a bat. Which direction they are going now? That's the question which, you know, they should be asking. So, when we are talking about knowledge, yes, knowledge is meant for many different purposes. Herein we are discussing how people, they are trying to become a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer, software engineer or hardware engineer or whatever engineer. Why? So that they can survive. That is one aspect why knowledge is required nowadays. Now, another is that we require knowledge in order to just perceive anything, any object. Forget about being survived in this world. Just to perceive a certain object, you require some knowledge. Like, for example, a child who looks at this microphone stand. So the child who looks at this microphone stand, if he doesn't know this microphone stand, what it is meant for, the child will simply try to bite upon it, will try to use it to just get up. Or if a cat comes across this microphone stand, the cat might just try to scratch its back. You know, sometimes, you know, these animals, they have this habit of, you know, they can't reach their back, so they scratch their back using some other object. I saw in US, in these pet stores, there are these scratch posts for dogs and cats available. You can buy them, you know, for your pet dog. So your pet dog can keep scratching, you know, on that scratch post. So for a pet animal, say a dog or a cat, you know, this microphone stand might be used just for that. So in the Niti Shastra, it is said that one particular object, how you look at it, is not simply what your eyes are looking at that thing. It is the knowledge behind the eyes which gives you a certain perception. So if you are looking at me, with your eyes, you are just looking at a human being. Hopefully. You are looking at a human being. But if you get some knowledge about me, then those same eyes will look at me differently. So if somebody informs you that he has tendency to steal things, now when you look at me, you'll look differently. Like in India, in many of these holy places, you will find that on the walls it is written, beware of pickpocketers. Have you read any time? In these holy places, many times on the walls, you know, anywhere in those lanes, you will find on the walls it is written, beware of pickpocketers. Many times, it is the pickpocketer who writes that. They are the ones who write on the walls, beware of pickpocketers, and they secretly, as people are walking past by, they observe them. They observe anyone who reads that and just tries to check whether he still has the wallet inside. They come to know he has some stuff inside. Because only a person who might have something, after reading that, might caution himself, might check himself. So they come to know. They don't waste time on anyone and everyone. So they are the ones who write on the walls, "Beware of pickpocketers," in order to make sure that they catch the right person. So if you are just looking at me, you are looking at just, you know, lump of flesh and bones. But then when you come to know some things about me, your perception will be different. So this example is given in the Niti Shastra. Eka eka padarthastu tridha bhavati vikshita kunapa kamini mamsam kami bhi yogi bhi shvabhi. Eka eka padarthastu, one object. Padartha means object. One object seen by three different personalities. They have their own different three perceptions. Now what is the object? The object is a little interesting. The object is a beautiful looking lady. And three people looking at this beautiful lady. The first is a kami bhi, a lusty person. How a lusty person looks at that beautiful lady. What is his perception? The second is yogi bhi, a yogi, a self-realized yogi. How he will look at that beautiful lady. And shvabhi, a carnivorous animal. How a carnivorous animal will look at that beautiful lady. What are the three perceptions looking at this one padartha? Eka eka padarthastu tridha bhavati vikshita. Vikshita means to see. So it is said that when a lusty person looks at a beautiful woman, his lust is increased and his perception is suffused and infused with lust. So he sees that my dearmost sense object is walking past by. When a lusty man looks at a beautiful woman, so that's how his perception is. What is the perception of a yogi? When a yogi looks at a beautiful woman, his perception is a combination of five elements is walking by. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. Just a combination of five elements. Pancha Mahabhut, mobile. Mobile Pancha Mahabhut. A yogi, you know, he sees with that X-ray vision. There is only just a combination of five elements just moving. Five elements is moving. And how does a carnivorous animal look? My lunchbox is going. So the same object but viewed by three different personalities, they are viewing it differently. Depending on what knowledge they have acquired. So when we look at Krishna, depends on what knowledge we have acquired about Krishna, our perception will change. Our perception will depend on what knowledge we have acquired about Krishna. So, herein we are talking about knowledge which is meant just for the sake of survival. Knowledge which is meant for the sake of perceiving anything or anyone. And also, knowledge is very much essential to establish relationship. Very much essential. Now, coming from India, we find over there that the traditional way of marrying someone is the arranged marriage. Have you heard any time of arranged marriage? So, there is a Vedic concept of arranged marriage. And what is this arranged marriage? Wherein, who arranges the marriage? The parents. The parents of the girl and the parents of the boy. They arrange the marriage. So what happens is that before the boy and girl meets, the parents, they meet. And when they meet, they share the knowledge about their children. So the boy's father will tell to the girl's father that my boy is so much educated, this is his name, these are his qualities. So what goes on is just an exchange of knowledge. The boy's father gives the knowledge about his son and the girl's father gives knowledge about his daughter. So when that meeting takes place, it is simply exchange of knowledge about the boy and the girl. And when that knowledge is exchanged, when they come back home, they tell that, okay, I have chosen this girl for you. The boy's father tells to the boy, I have chosen this girl for you. And then he speaks about that knowledge, about that girl. Gives that knowledge to the boy about that girl. So then, when he hears about that girl, and when that girl hears about that boy, slowly, what transpires is, at that moment is, some kind of appreciation with that knowledge. So before that interaction, they didn't even know that such a creature exists on this planet Earth. They didn't even know. But then when they met, the knowledge was exchanged. And then that knowledge, when it compounds more, in trying to know more, explore more about that person, then there is some attachment. There is some attraction which takes place later. So herein we see that the bond of affection, it begins with knowledge. So the sequence is, knowledge gives rise to appreciation. When you get knowledge about Krishna, you start appreciating Krishna. Then that appreciation then leads into attraction. You then start to develop some attraction towards Krishna. And that attraction then leads to attachment. That attachment leads to absorption. That absorption leads to enthusiasm to do something for Krishna. And that enthusiasm culminates in committing oneself unto his lotus feet, which means surrendering. So are you able to understand the sequence? It starts with knowledge. Knowledge leads into appreciation. Appreciation leads into attraction. Attraction leads into attachment, leads into absorption, leads into enthusiasm. And then a devotee commits himself, surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. Just like this example of how when the boy and girl, when they exchange knowledge about oneself, about each other, that knowledge further solidifies that they get married. And when they get married, then the attraction and the absorption and everything, the enthusiasm is so much, at least for a while, it is so much that they can't even forget each other. They can't even forget every moment they are just remembering each other. So, a living entity's relationship with Krishna is also something like a living entity getting married to Krishna. We are getting married to Krishna because we are Prakriti and he is the ultimate Purush. So we, in our Krishna consciousness, we all want to get married to Krishna. And of course, in our case, we would say remarry because we have divorced him before. Left the spiritual world and come here. So, how do you get back into that relationship with the Supreme Lord? By that knowledge. And therefore, that knowledge begins from hearing about Krishna. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam. Complete surrender. But that complete surrender begins from Shravanam. It begins from hearing. So when we hear, slowly we get to know what are the qualities of Krishna. Oh, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Krishna performed such loving pastimes with Mother Yashoda. Krishna performed Rasleela. Krishna, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is so beautiful. Krishna is so knowledgeable. All these qualities, when we hear more and more about Krishna, there is some appreciation which we develop about Krishna. Now, this is what the modern day marketing maneuvers which they have. You do not know anything about some new electronic gadget. And what does the marketing company do? They advertise. They advertise. It's nothing but Shravan Kirtan which goes on in these advertisements. that they are doing the kirtan about this particular gadget has so many features and it can help you in such an effective way. So when you hear about that so many times, then you develop some attraction towards that object. Maybe I should get that particular electronic gadget because you have heard it so many times. So therefore, same is when we engage in our sadhana bhakti, we hear about Krishna, and that hearing about Krishna gives rise to appreciating Krishna and so on and so forth. And we have examples. We have examples. Rukmini. Rukmini, she never saw Krishna. Before she got married, she had never seen Krishna. She had only heard about Krishna through bona fide sources. So Rukmini Devi had only heard about Krishna's glories, and just by hearing about Krishna's glories, Rukmini Devi became so much absorbed and attracted to Krishna that she only wanted Krishna as her husband. And she rejected her father, brother, Shishupal. Of course, that was easy to reject. You know, she was supposed to be married to Shishupal. So she rejected all of that, and her only focus was to get married to Krishna. And it all began from hearing. These great brahmanas and rishis and munis would come to Maharaj Bhishmak, who was the father of Rukmini Devi. They would come to Bhishmak's palace and they would speak about the glories of Krishna. And Rukmini Devi, she wouldn't sit and listen to them. She would just from a corner overhear. Now, we have been attending so many Bhagavatam classes directly. Rukmini, she was not even hearing it directly. She was from some corner hiding, overhearing the qualities of Krishna, and so much attraction she developed. And many times in our case, when we sit for the Bhagavatam class, when Krishna's pastimes begin, so Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. So Krishna is lifting the Govardhan hill and our eyelids go down. And it's a great ordeal to lift our eyelids as Krishna is lifting the Govardhan hill. Because we are not hearing in that particular desperation as Rukmini Devi was hearing. So we have the example of Rukmini. What is the other example you can think of in Krishna Leela? That those devotees, they became attracted towards Krishna just by hearing. They never saw Krishna. Can you remember any other example of any other devotee? The Brahmana Patnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, they also had never seen Krishna before. They had only heard from whom? Here at least Rukmini Devi had heard from great yogis and rishis. But these Brahmana Patnis, they had heard about Krishna just, you know, from the mouths of some fruit vendor, from some vegetable seller, from someone just who had visited Brajamandal. That's how they had heard about Krishna, and so much attraction that they were waiting when Krishna will come in this particular vicinity where we stay. And realizing that intense desire of those Brahmana Patnis, Krishna along with Balaramji went over there. That was the main purpose when Krishna went over there, so that he could deliver and he could give his mercy to these Brahmana Patnis. And also to the Brahmanas who were so proud of being Brahmanas. So these are the two examples of Rukmini Devi and these Brahmana Patnis, that they never saw Krishna, but the attraction for Krishna developed just by hearing. Now, we might ask to ourselves, of course, I've been hearing for so many years, so many classes, I have attended so many Bhagavatam classes, I have read so many pastimes of Krishna, so many lectures I have heard. Why that attraction is not taking place? Why I'm not desperate looking for Krishna? You know, when we get up in the morning, do we look for Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? We simply look for, you know, where is the alarm clock? So So, why that attraction is not developing? Or it's just with me? I don't know. Why that attraction? I ask myself, why that attraction is not developing? Because we might be hearing, but we might not be hearing in a proper mood. Just like many times, you know, there is this term in Bhagavatam called Pashyan Api Na Pashyati. Have you heard that? Pashyan Api Na Pashyati means seeing but not seeing. That sometimes your eyes are looking at someone, but your mind is somewhere else. We are looking at Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, but our mind is somewhere else, not at the feet of Radha Gokulananda, somewhere else. And we all know where the mind many times goes. So the eyes are looking, but we are not looking actually. It's simply the eyes which are looking at the Supreme Lord, but we are not. So many times it happens that we are hearing, the ears are hearing, but we are not hearing. And the example is that Sanjay spoke the entire Bhagavad Gita verbatim to Dhritarashtra also. Dhritarashtra heard the entire Bhagavad Gita, the live telecast, the live commentary. Dhritarashtra heard that. But there was no change. There was no change in Dhritarashtra. In spite of hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the mouth of a pure devotee like Sanjay. So there was no use of that hearing. And we have another example. Narad Muni preaching to Kayadhu. Now who is Kayadhu? Who knows who is Kayadhu? Yes, Prahlad Maharaj's mother, wife of Hiranyakashipu, Mrs. Hiranyakashipu. So Kayadhu, when Hiranyakashipu was performing all the austerities, so Prahlad was in the womb of Kayadhu, and the demigods, they wanted to destroy. They thought that this Hiranyakashipu is creating so much havoc. What to speak of another junior Hiranyakashipu if he's born? So they wanted to destroy, but Narad Muni, he knew that's going to be the greatest devotee of the Supreme Lord being born from Kayadhu. So Narad Muni takes Kayadhu to his ashram and then he is giving Bhagavat Katha. So Kayadhu is listening to Narad Muni's Bhagavat Katha. But who actually gets transformed? Prahlad within the womb. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, the kind of Shravan with Prahlad Maharaj did is a lesson for all of us. Now, can you imagine what kind of discomfort a child is in when he's in the womb of his mother? Do you think it's a very comfortable place to listen to any Bhagavad class? Crammed up like that, surrounded by all the bodily juices of the mother, you know, being bitten by insects and viruses and bacteria. It's not a very comfortable place, definitely, to hear Bhagavad class. But Prahlad Maharaj heard with such desperation. And the same Bhagavad Katha Kayadhu also heard. But we don't read about Kayadhu, that when Hiranyakashipu is asking Kayadhu, what is the greatest thing which you have learnt in your life? Kayadhu is not saying to Hiranyakashipu that Sharanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. It is Prahlad Maharaj. So why? What happened? The same message heard by Kayadhu and also heard by Prahlad. It depends on how we hear, in what mood we hear. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. That yes, one has to approach the tattva darshi for that tattva jnana. And one has to hear from that Tattvadarshi. But how? Submissively. Sevaya and Pranipat. If you look into this verse, Pariprashna, which means asking relevant question, has been kept in between Pranipat and Seva. So Krishna says, pranipatena pariprashnena then sevaya. So which means it's like a sandwich. That pariprashna, the hearing from the spiritual master, has to be done under submission and menial service. It should be backed up, supported by these two attitudes. Then only that hearing will have an effect. So Parikshit Maharaj heard in that desperation. Arjun also, when he heard the Bhagavad Gita, he heard the Bhagavad Gita in that desperation. And therefore, the same Bhagavad Gita heard by Dhritarashtra and the same Bhagavad Gita heard by Arjun. What is the result? Arjun is saying, Nashtamoha smritir labdhva tvat prasadat mayachuta stitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. My dear Krishna, now my illusion has been dispelled. I have been reinstated in my original position and I have no doubt what am I supposed to do now. And I'll do as you say. Thy will be done. Now Dhritarashtra, you don't find Dhritarashtra speaking those kind of shlokas. It was not that after hearing the entire Bhagavad Gita, he's telling to Sanjay, Nashtamoha smritir labdhva tat prasadatmaya jita. I will do as Krishna says now. No. Dhritarashtra was still, at the very fag end of his life, he was still attached. So therefore, what we discussed today is that in order to develop that attraction and attention and attachment towards Krishna, we need to have knowledge about Krishna. And for that knowledge, we need to hear about Krishna. And how should we hear about Krishna? Pranipat sevaya. In that mood, when we hear about Krishna, then that knowledge we'll get about Him. And with that knowledge, we'll develop appreciation. With that appreciation, we'll develop attachment. Then there'll be enthusiasm. And then we'll commit ourselves and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, that is what we are learning from these prayers which Prajapati Daksha is offering to the Supreme Lord. That, yes, my dear Lord, you are Ananta. And I'm born in ignorance. But little by little, when I get to know about you, that's how I progress in my approach towards knowing you and approach and acquiring your Krishna prema. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.